will check in as a running back. Aguilar on a crossing pattern. Carr goes deep to the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Raiders. Right, yes, indeed. Nelson Aguilar.
Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back to the Silver and Black Today, powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys. Call them anytime. 702-820-1234. Coming up in just a minute is our new exclusive segment with the Raiders slot machine, number 13. That's 13 minutes with Hunter Renfroe. Hunter will be with us in just a minute. He'll talk about yesterday's game after that long flight home last night. I'm sure he got a nap in. But Q, there was Nelson Aguilar. And I've been saying, I know we didn't always agree on it, and it was, hey, it was one catch. But Derek Carr said after the game, too, having that veteran out there who's got that confidence that you can look in the huddle and say, hey, I got it. And he went out and he got it with a nice, nice pass.
Yeah, it was. It was a dime from Derek Carr and a really good catch from Nelson Aguilar at the same time, man. He did exactly what you're supposed to do, textbook catch. He ran through it, made the catch with his hands, and secured it, got his feet down. Great catch. It was really a heck of a play, and it was nice to hear that Nelson Aguilar wanted the ball at that time.
Absolutely. Speaking of wide receivers, we now are going to put in some coins. We're going to pull the handle on the slot machine. It's time for 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfroe.
Some call him the slot machine. Others call him Third and Renfroe. It's time for our weekly conversation with Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver Hunter Renfroe. You're tuned into 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfroe. Exclusively on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
All right, here we go. We go out on the line and we bring in Hunter Renfroe. Hunter, first of all, congratulations on the big win. It's always nice to get a win, but when it's the first one and the first one in Las Vegas Raiders history, it's extra special.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. We just got back from Carolina last night, and it feels good to wake up and be 1-0. Last year, our rookie year, we started out 1-0, and there's no better feeling. You can't get to 2-0 or 3-0 before you get to 1-0. And so just to be above 500 from the start, just a really good feeling, and we're excited about it.
Well, and Hunter, go ahead, Q.
You guys put up 34 points. Josh Jacobs had a monster game, 3 touchdown runs. What was it like just being out there blocking for Jacobs as well downfield, but just seeing what kind of game he put together?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be so much fun to watch. Like, it's literally fun being able to come back, and we just watch film as a group and just watching him run the football. Like, it's just fun to have a guy like that on your team, and you want to block that much harder for a guy like that. I was talking to one of our guys, Foster Crow, this morning, and we talked just about that. Like, it makes us want to go get that safety. It doesn't hurt us bad kind of trying to crack that safety or block in that corner when you know Josh can have a chance to split it. So everything starts with him. I think I often kind of run through him. He did a great job of setting the tempo. I think he had 3 touchdowns. It opens up everything else. Because if you can get the running game going, you get those linebackers coming up, you get those safeties coming up, and you can hit a Henry Ruggs over the top like we did earlier. So it was awesome, and it's fun. It was a lot of fun having him.
We're joined by Hunter Renfroe on 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfroe here on Silver and Black Today. And Hunter, listen, you get in there, 3 plays, Trent Brown goes down. Then after 10 plays, you lose Sam Young. As an offensive player, and you get back in that huddle and they keep shuttling guys in at right tackle, what's your guys' mindset there? Is it just you just go, or does it enter your head at all that you just lost 2 of your right tackles?
Not really, because you practice with so many guys, and that's kind of the mentality of the team is next man up. But it was nice to – I remember seeing Denzel in there early, and it was nice to kind of – the game is going so fast that you don't realize when people go down. And so it was good to see a fellow South Carolinian in there. He's from the upstate of South Carolina as well. And so it was good, and he did a fantastic job. I thought he played great the rest of the way. he had a big block on Nelson Aguilar's touchdown catch, and I think he really played well. So it was encouraging to see for sure.
What was it like, Hunter, being out there with no fans in the stands? They had a crowd noise, you know, on the broadcast, but just to be out there with no fans and be pretty quiet out there, and you can hear all the audibles from the quarterback. Yeah. What was that like?
I mean, it's so hard to describe it. It's like you're in college and you have these random like Saturday scrimmages in the spring, or like getting ready for the season in the fall and in training camp, and that's similar to what it was like. There was no fans. I was texting a cousin of mine after the game, and I was like, how did the TV copy look? Because we just know what's out there. And they're like, yeah, I mean, they had some crowd music pumped into the TV copy, but it almost seemed like he was silent out there on the field. And so you definitely don't need as many signals, but you can listen to calls. It's nice because you can hear the defense talking. You kind of know what to do as an offense, and it's just different. I mean, none of us have experienced that, playing a game in front of that few of people since probably high school, middle school. So it really brings us back to the roots of why we play, having fun. We miss the fans because they're such an awesome part of the game, and they bring so much value to it. But it brings us back to why we play. All right, let's go out there and have fun. Let's go out there and enjoy the game we grew up playing. So it's unique, and we're 1-0 with it. So hopefully we can keep it on.
All right, we're joined by Hunter Renfroe. This is 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfroe. Every Monday, you can hear it here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio. And Hunter, you guys find yourself doing really well. Then you find yourself losing the lead. So again, Derek Carr, fourth quarter comebacks. What's it like in the huddle with him? Why is he so successful in those situations under stress as a quarterback?
I think, first off, he's a great leader. I think he just does a great job of preparing for the moment, and he doesn't listen to the outside noise. And I think that he knows who he is, he knows what he's capable of, and he knows what we're capable of when we distract from the outside noise and go play. And it's cool. Yeah, he's wearing that on sleeve this year in honor of Kobe Bryant. So his first game out there, he got the win coming back in the fourth quarter with it. So that was cool. But I think just his calmness. And everybody just feeds off him, and he never gets rattled. And he always, I mean, it doesn't matter if we're playing a video game or whatever we're doing, he always thinks we can win. We might be down 5-0 in FIFA, and with 5 minutes left, and he thinks we're going to come back and win. And so I think just that belief he has in himself and the guys on the team really helps us for sure.
Hunter, I got to ask you about you being a punt returner. You know, you were back there, and I know you have really good hands, so I was like, okay, good. He's going to go back there and secure the ball, you know, maybe pick up a few yards. But you had a lot of wiggle in you, man, that first punt return. You put the Raiders in really good field position. How did it feel to be back there as the punt returner and also just have that big-time return?
Yeah, it was good. Any way you can help the team out, honestly. I hadn't really done it much in college. They just put me back there at Clemson to do what you said, just to catch the ball. Usually it was a safe situation, so I'd still catch it and I'd never return it. So I got a little experience at the end of last year. And then it was funny, before the game, the sun was like right in our eyes pregame. And you couldn't see anything. Like, I think the first six punts AJ punted to us in pregame, we didn't even come close to catching them. And our special teams coach was chewing us out. And it was just not a good start to the 2020 season as far as punt return goes. But I think it settled in. The guys did a great job setting up the return. It's easy whenever you don't have a lot of guys you have to make miss, right? It makes us look good. And so I think they did a great job on the front line, and we were able to kind of create a spark a little bit.
Hunter, you're in your second year, and of course you had your rookie teammates out there with you too, and obviously Henry did very well from the get-go. How did they all react to the moment of their first NFL game? And of course there was no hostile visiting crowd, which changed a little bit, but you have, of course, Henry coming out of the SEC, and Bryan Edwards the same thing. How did they react? How was that for them as you guys ramped up towards the game?
Yeah, I thought they did an incredible job. I really do. Henry came out the gate fast with that big catch. Ryan had a nice little tunnel screen. He got some yards. I think Ryan did a fantastic job of blocking.
Yeah.
Just going over and watching the film. But they never seemed nervous. And Brian, actually, that was his third straight season. They opened up in that stadium. So South Carolina, I think, played the last 2 years in Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. And so this was the third year in a row he's opened up in that stadium. So he had some familiarity there. But I think they did an incredible job. Just looking back to my rookie year last year, you were thinking too much. Like, there's just so much you have to remember, especially playing Coach Gruden's offense with Derek. He's so smart and being able to pick up everything. And then you have to actually go play. And so I think they did a great job of handling everything. And I think it was a good first week for them. And hopefully we can build upon it because it's going to be another great one on Monday night against the Saints.
Hunter, what makes Cleve Farrell tick? You know, you were a college teammate of us at Clemson. You've obviously been with him with the Raiders the last two seasons. He comes up with a big hit on that fourth down play, him and Raekwon McMillan. But just kind of what makes him tick? Because he doesn't talk a whole lot, but he goes out there and plays.
I think he's just a great competitor. Seeing that at Clemson, seeing the time at Clemson, the days he spent after practice perfecting his craft, I think he's just very competitive. And I talked about belief earlier. I think he really believes that he's going to make that play, you know. But his preparation is second to none. I mean, you'll see him all the time in the practice field just working on his moves, working on the bag and getting off using his hands. And so when the time comes, when it's fourth down like that, he's able to make that play because he's made it so many times in practice. He's made it so many times in his mind before it actually happened. And I think this is just what makes him special. And the competitive nature in him comes out. He's got a little adrenaline going, and he's ready for the moment.
We're 13 minutes with Hunter Renfrow here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. And Hunter, we look ahead now. You can celebrate the victory for a day, and then it's time to start focusing, if you already haven't, of course, on the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees comes into town. You're also going to face a defense that's a little more stout and a little more experienced. What's the unique challenge you guys are facing from an offensive standpoint when you look at that Saints defense?
Yeah, extremely veterans. They've been together for a while, so very smart, really good. I haven't watched too much about what coverages they run and that sort of deal, but you know that they're going to know what they're doing. They're going to be where they need to be, and we're just going to have to make plays. Hopefully we get the running game going, and then off that we can set some things up in the passing game. But in games like that, especially big games, you know, your best players have to go and make plays. And so hopefully we can get that going. And it's going to be a great week of practice. We've got to practice hard this week. But first one in Allegiant Stadium, so it's going to be fun.
It should be. Yeah, absolutely. And again, in addition to your dazzling footwork on the punting side, punt return side, you had two receptions for 21 yards, including so you average about 10 and a half yards, which is what you did last year. Now, we have a listener question, and it has to do with that because our listener, Rihanna from Las Vegas, emailed and she wants to ask you, even though you had a good game and but you didn't get targeted as much as some of the other guys, as a professional player, she wants to know, how do you deal with that? And is it ever disappointing?
No, absolutely not. I think you can kind of, when you think about yourself and you think about individual stats, I think it's easy to go down that track of only two catches, you gain 20 yards, and you flip on the phone and you see how many other players had. But when you're just trying to be the best that you can be, I think it's easy. And I think that, like my time at Clemson, we always had Mike Williams, we had Deion Kane, we had all of these great receivers that were coming through there, Sean Peak, that you kind of get forgot about. But in the biggest moments, you try to be ready, right? And just be available when your time is called. And that's something my high school baseball coach always preached, is the best ability in the world is availability. So just being ready whenever the moment comes. And it doesn't matter. You can have 10 catches for 100 yards, or you can have one catch to win the game. They're all important. And I think when you think about that way, you think about doing whatever you can to help the team, you don't get distracted by all the stats and all that. So hopefully we got the win, so I'm excited. Yep.
That's right. Well, there you go, Rihanna. Hunter Renfro answered your question directly. And Hunter, again, congratulations on the win. We'll see you and talk to you next week, a day later, since you're going to be playing on Monday. But we appreciate you being with us. And thanks again for spending the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. All right. See you next week. All right.
Great
there's
stuff.
Hunter Renfro giving you insight into the game. And Q right there, I love what he said, and it's been a theme again, which is, you know, availability, making sure you're ready when the time is right. And Hunter Renfro, let me tell you, remember that national championship game when he
yes.
was when he
Big
when
time.
The when the time came, he stepped up. And I love what he said about that, because you can look at numbers, but the reality is the impact of a catch, the impact of when your number is dialed, is really what matters.
Right. And I always say, when it comes to Hunter Renfro, is that it's always quality catches over the quantity catches. And if you look at the catches he had on Sunday, it was the quality catches. It was the third and Renfro. It was to keep a drive going. You know, there was one that there was a pass interference play called on the defender, on Tahir Whitehead, matter of fact, when he was trying to catch the ball. There's good big-time moments that he stepped up and made some plays, even though it was only a couple catches. They're very important. And so, yeah, I like the fact that he's so humble and he just goes out there and does his job. And like he said, when his number is called, he's ready.
Absolutely. And that was cool. And you can do that every week. You can email us or tweet at us a question for Hunter, and he will answer one of them on the air. So Rihanna from Las Vegas, she emailed us, which is info@silverandblacktoday.com. You can send your questions there. But that's an interesting question, because, you know, yes, it's a team sport, Q, right? So you're focused on your team winning. But as a player, too, you work hard. And I think, you know, for fans, the type of things that they wonder, that they would love to ask a professional football player, a wide receiver like Hunter, is very cool to have the opportunity for him to answer those things. But yeah, the punt returning thing is interesting as well. As he mentioned, he didn't do it a lot before.
No, he didn't. That's why I asked him.
Yeah.
I knew he wasn't a guy who did it all the time. And when he did at Clemson, like he said, and I wasn't trying to throw shade when I said that I expected you to, you know, to catch the ball, secure it, and then just run a little bit. It was just the fact that that's what he did.
Yes.
He caught the ball and basically fair caught it all the time and then just went from there. But in this scenario, you know, he got the wiggle afterwards, and it was nice.
Yeah, it reminds me of the training camp video where he kind of took Prince Amakimura off his ankles a little bit, and
right.
That one went viral across the country. Because, and that's the thing with Hunter Renfro, is he doesn't have the blinding speed. And they said in that story, they talked about how for most wide receivers, it's 60% skill and then 60% talent, 40% skill. And as far as your cuts, your route running, all that stuff. With Hunter, it's a little bit of the reversal, right? He's so smart. He does have a quick step, and that quick step buys him the time and the space. And that's why he's so successful getting yards after the catch.
Agreed 100%. I was very impressed with what I saw, and that was one of the big areas of concerns that I had going into the season, is who was going to be the punt returner and who was going to be the kick returner. And most people told me Lynn Bowden Jr.
Yes.
Well, we all know how that worked out.
Right, and that's why Hunter Renfro's back there. And the fact that he was able to, again, says a lot about him. It's like, hey, whatever
right.
I got to do to help the team. But also, I think it's because, you're not going to get the blinding speed, but Hunter Renfro's going to catch the ball. You don't have to worry about turnovers. And because of that quick step, he might get you a couple yards. And you saw it, I mean, on that 27-yard return he had yesterday. So, like, what did you call it again?
A wiggle.
No, you called it something else.
He had a little wiggle in himself, you know?
He was dancing out there. I love it. All right, we're going to step aside and take a break. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls and talk more about this Raiders win. It's a Victory Monday. Enjoy it, Raider Nation. You're listening to The Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Oh, that's DJ Quick right there. Shout out to Just Like Compton, because Las Vegas is just like Compton.
You're quick to get the DJ Quick.
Hey, man, DJ Quick was one of my favorites back in the day.
There you go.
One, his name started with a Q.
Of course.
Two, he was dope. 3. He had one of the best party anthems of all time tonight.
Oh, and by the way, number 4, he was dope. Yes. All right. There you go.
But tonight is the joint. So if you play tonight, I won't be mad. Just throwing that out there.
He's throwing out. He'll have it tomorrow for you, he says. There you go. Right. You're back on the Silver and Black today. Powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorney. Speaking of Sam and Ash, they're going to be with us in just a little while, about 10 minutes. Sam and Ash will be with us. We're going to talk to them about their football experience this weekend. What did they watch? How did they feel about everything? We're going to talk to them. Sam and Ash will be on. They're not just lawyers. They actually are football fans, so they'll come on and they mix it up with us. We're also going to get their Monday night picks. They're going to tell us who they think on the Monday night game, who's going to win. But first, Q, before we get to the Q-tip, which is coming up, there's lots of anticipation. People got their popcorn out. They're ready.
The Q-tip. Hey, I don't think they're going to like me after I deliver the Q-tip today.
Uh-oh. But first, we're going out, and we have Ken. Ken is on the line. Ken, you're with Scott and Q.
Hey, yo, what's up, guys? Hey. I just want to say you guys kind of nailed it. Everybody's kind of chopping up this game and reading too much into it. Obviously, it's kind of like a preseason game. You wait 7 months to watch the Raiders play, and they come home with a victory. You should be happy. I'm ecstatic. We're 1-0, Las Vegas, the undefeated franchise right now. big ups to Hero Whitehead. You know, he had a great game. Oh, wait, he's not a Raider anymore. Never mind. I thought he was playing for us. Shout out to those refs. I think that got the uniforms mixed up that we were wearing white. But no. They didn't call a lot of penalties on us. They called them on the Panthers. I'm okay with that. I looked at that pass that Derek Carr threw down to Ruggs in the first quarter of our third play. Man, that was just right there. And I think the cornerback there on the Panthers just got to, maybe tangled up Ruggs just a little bit. But that was almost a touchdown right there. And that was awesome. Anyway, big shout out to you guys. Again, I love the Hunter Renfrow segment. He's my favorite player. I had my Renfrow jersey on yesterday.
Yeah.
And really cool to see get that insight there. Word of advice, if anybody ever tells you they've never burnt their mouth on a Hot Pocket, they're lying. Run. Monster Mash Ken out.
All right, Ken. Monster Mash Ken. I appreciate it, man. Good call there. And absolutely. I mean, look, it's a win. Enjoy the win. That's all I can say. All right, we're going back right on the phone lines before we get to the Q-tip. And we bring in longtime listener Wally. Wally, what's going on today, man?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Good.
How's cue ball? Hey,
chilling.
I just want to echo what that guy said. What's the Raiders' motto, man?
Just win.
Just win, baby.
Just win, baby. And when it comes to the DBs, I mean, that's going to be the last part of the team that's going to gel.
Yeah.
The linebackers and the DBs, that's all about communication. Well, these cats haven't played with each other. They didn't have no preseason. They didn't have no OTAs. That's going to be the absolute last part of the team's gel. So you got to cut these guys a break, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Wally, you're absolutely right, man. I appreciate the call as always, my friend. Take care. Listen, there's just, Hondo said it earlier, you're going to be negative. Had some fool on Twitter tweet at our Silver and Black today talking about it. We were having a loser mentality by talking that way, and that's for the Jets and the Browns, the loser mentality. You don't go on the road and beat a crappy team and be happy about it. Come on. Like, are you serious? Are you
wow,
serious?
That's special.
You're fired as a listener.
I mean, I'm not going to fire him. I'll just say that it's just...
He's misguided.
It's just extra, man. You're putting extras on it. Again, it's very difficult to win any game in the NFL. And the Raiders went on the road and put up 34 points. Again, they had never had more than 31 in 2019.
Right.
So 34 points the first game out, yeah, I'll take that.
Well, and not only that, but listen, look, the Raider franchise is one of the most storied in sports, but it's been a long time since this franchise has been consistently a winner, okay? So it's getting there. It's on the right track to get back there, and I think that's a great thing. All right, this time of the day we reserve for my man Q.
Boy.
As it is time for apparently something that's going to make you angry. It's time for the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
And I'm going to start this and let it be known that it's subject for, you know, conversation. It's just something that's been going through my mind. And I want to throw it your direction. And I have a lot of reasons behind why I think it'd be a good idea. I also have a lot of reasons why I think it'd be a bad idea. But I'm going to just throw it out there, Scott. I think the Raiders may need to get on the phone and call one Earl Thomas. And say, I'm just saying, you might want to think about it. I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm not pounding the table for it or anything. I'm just saying you might want to put him on speed dial. And this is the reason why. Eric Harris really did not look the part. They might have let Demarius Randall go a little too soon. You know what I mean? Like, he just looked kind of out of place quite a bit. Obviously, the one big play. But I just think that you might need a little bit more dynamic type of a player on that back end. And I know all the reasons why to say, no, hell no, don't call Earl Thomas at all. But you might want to take the good with the bad just in case. I mean, it might be a conversation that Gruden gets on the phone and says, hey, man, you know, and just talk, at least sees where he's at. You know, at least talk to him and kind of feel him out. And look, Eric Harris might come back and ball out the rest of the season. And I say, you know what? That was a bad point. But I just think for all the, you know, the things that we said were pretty positive, I feel like he really was the liability at that safety position.
Well, and I agree with you, Q. I think here's the deal. Look, it's been 1 week, and I get that.
Right.
You don't panic.
And I don't want to overreact to one week.
And I don't think you are. I think this is the point. You don't want to overreact, but if you look at the Raiders and their schedule the next 4 or 5 games, if it doesn't get better, it gets ugly. Okay.
Right.
So to your point, I think that to be prudent as a general manager and as a coach, you got to start thinking of alternative plans in case. Yes. And if Eric Harris, you know, he's a good guy, worked his butt off to get where he is.
Yeah.
And I hope he comes right back and has a great game. But if he doesn't, then you have an issue. And I thought of Demarius Randall yesterday. It's so funny you brought this up because
right.
I was thinking to myself, man, did they really – maybe they cut him loose a little too. Now maybe he didn't perform, and either way he was gone. I don't know. But at the same time, it crossed my mind when I was watching the game yesterday. I'm thinking, maybe they let him go a little too early. Maybe they
thought – That's what got me thinking about this to begin with was like, man, you know, they might have needed a little bit better of a player back there consistently all the time. I think Eric Harris is good. And I think that he really works hard, and that's good to be kind of like a guy who spells somebody. But I don't know if he's going to be the guy moving forward all the time.
Yeah, is he going to be the frontline starter that gets you there?
Right.
We'll see. Maybe he is. Maybe he just needs another game, get back into it. Maybe he comes out against the Saints and just balls, and we forget this conversation. But I had the same point, too, Q, yesterday, watching the lack of pass rush, going
right.
back to the conversations that you and I had on the air here with our listeners about Yannick Ngakoue
yep.
and back about Clowney, J.D. Von Clowney. Back then, and I'm thinking to myself, if I was John Gruden, I would have traded that draft pick and paid the money to go get Ngakoue.
Yeah, Ngakoue would have been a really good pickup. I mean, really good pickup. And you saw that the pass rush was a struggle, you know, and they did do some good things. I'm talking about the defensive line later on in the game, but the pass rush just was not there. And you got some dogs coming to town. I mean, you got Drew Brees coming to town. You give him a lot of time, he's going to pick you apart. I don't care how good the secondary is.
No, absolutely. And that's the point. I just think you have to look at it and say, again, go back to what Mike Mayock said during the very early preseason. He said, we're going to do whatever we can to get better. If that means going out to get players, then we'll do it. If it makes sense and it makes our football team better, we're going to go do that. So you have to look at that and say, okay, then nothing's on the table. Now they freed up $9 million when they restructured the deal with Corey Littleton. So they got $9 million bucks there right now.
Right.
And I think even every day that passes, especially past this first game, that looks really, really smart, Q, because they obviously had some questions. They decided to go certain directions at certain positions, especially on defense, but yep. they built in this buffer. Right? So they might be able to go out and get a guy or sign somebody. Then you got to also look at that offensive line. Look, I'm not being negative, but Trent Brown has not been in shape. He didn't do preseason. He didn't do camp. And then he comes out after three plays and gets hurt. He's had trouble staying healthy. You can't be the highest paid offensive lineman in the league and not play.
Right, exactly right. I mean, he goes out after three plays. That's a issue. That's a concern, you know, and we talked about it all offseason during training camp, like, oh, not going to panic, going to kind of take the Raiders at their word. But at the same time, in the back of our head, we all kind of said, this is getting a little concerning. And, well, after three plays, he's out there on the training table. That's a problem. And honestly, I'll go a step further. I think this is Trent Brown's last year with the Raiders. You look at his contract, they're able to move on from him with no dead money after this year. I would not be surprised to see them move on from him. I just don't think he can stay healthy for a full 16.
No, but he is very, I still believe, incredibly important for this season to unfold. Now, I know yesterday went as well as it could on that line, Q, but that line is so important because you're going to score 34 points. You need to have the best offensive line. You're never going to do that if you don't have somebody protecting you. Now, again, it held up yesterday against the Panther defense, which had a bunch of rookies. You line up against the Saints, or you line up against the Chiefs, or you line up against one of these other teams that they're playing, you're going to have more trouble. You're going to have a bigger Absolutely. Challenge. And so they got to either get him healthy or they got to go a different direction. And that you're right. It might be not till next year, but if he can't get on the field, then that all but seals his fate in my
opinion. There's one thing I can say about Trent Brown, and I like him as a player, and I think that, you know, when he's out there and healthy, he's a mammoth dude, and he's going to cause havoc on a defender trying to get to the quarterback. But there's a reason he's been on three teams now in his career.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you great players don't just go from team to team all the time. And it's some reason the 49ers let him go, and the Patriots also let him walk.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely true. Listen, availability, right? We heard all of our guests.
I love everybody saying that, too.
Yeah, I know. And we've heard we've heard it from you for 2 months.
For so long.
and we heard it from Hunter Renfrow. We heard it from Hondo Carpenter today.
Jonathan Abram. I'm rolling,
over the
man.
Weekend.
I'm the guy.
So it is the theme. So we're going to now go out. We're going to bring in Sam and Ash. Sam and Ash are with us on the phone. Of course, Sam and Ash, injury attorney. You can call them anytime, 702-820-1234, proud sponsor. They power this show, and now they're going to power this conversation. Sam, Ash, how you doing after your first NFL Sunday?
Great. Good to talk to you guys.
Good.
All right. Well, okay, so the Raiders win their first game as the Las Vegas Raiders, and now they come home. And, you know, I know you guys are big fans and you're getting ready. Unfortunately, we can't go to the game. But how exciting is it for this city, its first NFL franchise game, and they come home with a big victory?
I think it's perfect.
Yeah, it's great. Huge. It's the only way to start the season.
All right, so now, what did you guys? How was it watching football? What did you guys think of the no crowd thing? Did you even notice?
I didn't. I watched a bunch of the games, and they're doing a great job with pumping in the fake noise from whatever video game. They're probably Madden, but yeah, it's. I'm not even really noticing it. I mean, yeah, sometimes you miss when they pan to the crowd or the funny costumes, but I didn't really actually notice the difference.
But did it does the crowd make me noise want to go to games? Like, I want to be there. Like, I really miss live sports. I always think live sports, personally, I love being in stadium, you know, whatever it is, and whatever game is being played, I want to be there. And so a little bit of FOMO, you know, not being there in person.
Yeah, that's real. No doubt about that. But going back to the crowd noise real quick, it was messing me up listening to it and watching the game at the same time. I would always think that there was a penalty thrown or something, or a big play for the Raiders was coming back, because I felt like the crowd would get loud at the wrong time. Did you guys notice that too?
I did notice it on occasion. When I stepped away from the TV, I heard the noise, and I quickly scurried back to see what happened, and then I realized it was nothing. So, yeah, it caught me off guard a couple times.
Now, you guys, being attorneys, have you ever been in the courtroom where they did, like, the wave for you as you presented an argument? No,
unfortunately. I don't think a judge would allow that, but it would be fun. I think we should start a movement to allow it.
Yeah,
if anybody should get it, it should be Ashley, for sure.
Well, yeah, especially now that she's, like, being spoofed. There's these people out there that are putting fake Ashleys on the air. Is that correct?
Can you believe that?
No, I
can't.
That's
really happening. I mean, look, there's only one real Ashley. We've got her.
Yes.
The genuine, bona fide thing. So no fake Ash here.
No, we only
Wait,
deal-
so what, wait, hold on. What's going on?
Well... No, I Ashley doesn't care about this, but I do. There's there's another firm, one of our competitors, if you can call them that. They have it's just some guys, you know, it's a boys club, and they decided they saw Ashley on TV and thought, you know, we got to get ourselves one of her.
Wow,
which is
so
impossible.
They hired a non-attorney spokesperson, I guess. And this gal looks very similar to Ashley, but not
wait,
on
wait,
the money,
Sam,
but,
Sam,
you know, close
Sam,
enough.
Sam, she looks in the vein of Ashley, but not similar.
Oh, you guys, save you know, me.
That's hilarious.
Save me.
So no, I'm
well,
serious.
Imitation is the best form of flattery or whatever. I can't. I don't remember what the saying is.
Yeah, something like that.
but that's because you guys do things differently, which is why you come on a sports show and talk sports with us, which is not something that a lot of these folks do. And speaking of that, too, of course, it's Monday Night Football. I don't know if you guys have plans. Sam and I would be out having a Mai Tai, except that the bar where we go have those Mai Tais isn't open, and we need to get those open hopefully soon. But you're looking at these games. I want to get your guys' picks, and we're gonna pitch you guys, the partners there, Sam and Ash. We're gonna pitch you against one another. Of course, you're used to that, though, right? We have two games, so we're gonna get your picks. All right, Pittsburgh versus the Giants. We will, of course, because my mother taught me well, ladies first. Ash, who you got?
You know,
Pittsburgh versus Giants.
I have to go with the Steelers because it's against my religion to root for the Giants in any way, shape, or form.
All right, so Ash has Pittsburgh. Sam, are you just going to go the other way just to be an argumentative lawyer, or do you think Pittsburgh wins too?
I think Pittsburgh's going to win, but I have to... Oh, geez, this is what always happens. So, I'll go with the Giants. I'm doing it.
I love it. That's great. And then you have the Titans and the Broncos. Of course, the Broncos are a division rival of the Raiders. So Raider fans, they call them the Donkeys. And so they want the Donkeys to lose. But who do you guys have? The Titans, of course, went to the AFC Championship game where they were beaten by the Chiefs after surprising the Ravens last year. So we'll start this time with Sam. Sam, Titans versus Broncos.
Oh, I think the Titans are going to sweep this. I think they're going to win.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm going to watch this game. This one I'm going to be home from work, so that's what I'm going to put on.
I love it. Okay, Ash, who you got?
You know, I'm going to go with the Titans as well. And are we sure that Raiders fans refer to them as donkeys and not the worst version of that word?
Well, they
jackass?
Jackass, yeah. We can say that. We can say that on the air. We can say
I didn't say
air.
It.
Yeah, we can say that on air. But yes, they do. There's all kinds of names. And yeah. They also use the donkey thing for some stuff, inappropriate stuff I can't talk about on the air as well. The AFC West rivalries with the Chiefs and the Broncos, not so much the Chargers because the Chargers are just a mess, but with the other two is very, very heated. And so as you guys with the Raiders here in town, you'll start doing that. In fact, you might even be able to advise us on how we can legally say it the right way so we don't get fined.
Got it.
Oh, man.
You got it.
That's always great. So you guys are going to get geared up. You're going to watch the games tonight. And then next week, Monday Night Football is going to be here, right? So we'll have you on the air a little bit earlier, and we'll get your predictions for that game, the first ever game as a Las Vegas NFL city, as the Raiders will be here. But the Saints, that'll be fun. And it's too bad that they aren't playing, because I don't know about you guys. I love New Orleans, and New Orleans fans are great when they come into town. We could have had a big party with them.
Huge party. It would be so fun. But hey, it's a part of history, and I'm excited to be there.
Absolutely. All right, Sam and Ash, of course, great sponsors here, but also good friends. And if you need them, you believe me, call them. You heard them talking here. These are really good folks. They are much different than anything else you're going to get out there. Call them anytime, 702-820-1234. Ash, Sam, thank you so much for being with us today. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. Bye, guys.
All right, there you
See
go.
Ya.
Sam and Ash. Visit them at samandash.com as well. All right, we are going to run real quick through a couple calls, and we're going to get to a break, and then we'll close out with Vinny Bonsignor, who just ran off a plane, I think, from Charlotte. We'll get to him in a minute. We're going out on the phones to Snake Man. Snake Man, who hung up on us earlier. We were back. Snake Man, you're back. Were you sneaking at work?
Yeah, man. Hey, a couple things. I'm going to start off with the bad news first. Is that cool?
Sure, go ahead.
Yep.
I mean, when, you know, early on in camp, I swear to God, Trent Brown, he looked like he'd been locked in a Dunkin' Donuts for 6 months when I first saw him in camp. Did he not look, like, overweight to you guys? Because I'm trying to figure out what's the deal with this guy. Is he not eating properly, not getting oxygen to his muscles or something? Because this guy, I mean, why is he not healing here? What's with the calf? That's what I want to know. Everybody wants to know what is with the calf. Is it a tear? Is it a strain? Anybody know anything at all? Have you guys heard anything?
You know what? We're gonna stay tuned. We'll ask Vinny if he knows, because he's the man in the know. So we'll ask him right after the break about Trent Brown's calf and see if he's got any information.
Real quick, I want to end on some positive stuff here.
Yes.
But like, you know, I just feel like this guy Trent Brown, if he starts reading his Twitter account and listening to the radio, he's not going to like what he hears and sees, and I'm just afraid that this has got the potential to go south really quick. That's just me. That's just my feeling. He seems kind of like a, you know, a kind of reserved guy, and he's got the chip on his shoulder and all that. I understand that, but I get nervous about this guy. But anyway, I'll leave that for someone else to figure out one day. But the good thing is, Denzel Good was great, wasn't he?
Yeah, he looked good. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Q, I told you, Booker, don't sleep on Booker, man. Booker, he's actually a pretty good player, man. The thing with Booker is that he's big, about 15 to 20 pounds heavier than DeAndre Washington, and he falls forward on most of his runs, and that's a big, big thing. If we could keep a guy like him in the fold, that really does give those 3, 6, 10 plays, maybe they give him over the course of the game. That gives Josh Jacobs such a nice spell, because you can't expect that guy to keep working 25 carries and, you know, 4, 5, 6 receptions. He's going to get hammered. And I really like the fact that Booker's kind of in the fold here. What do you guys think of him?
I got to give him props, because I doubted him. I was very much down on him, and he did really well yesterday. The only thing he didn't do that I liked was ball security. He fumbled it out of bounds, but at least it went out of bounds. But every time he had an opportunity to do something, he did something. You know, he, like you said, positive yards while he was rushing, and even caught a pass and made some positive yards with it. So, yeah, I'm good with that, man. I was pleasantly surprised from what I saw from Devontae Booker.
Absolutely. Snake Man, thanks for your call. Okay, we go back out. We'll sneak one more in here. Raider Dave, you are on Silver and Black today with Q and Scott.
Hey, guys. I think it was Q last week that said we were 0-5 against this officiating crew. And any longtime Raider fan knows it's always us against the other team and the Zebras. But I was really scared early on when Ruggs took a complete ear hole and the guy completely whiffed with his shoulder pad. I did a stop motion of the video, and his shoulder pad's on the backside of Ruggs' jersey. And we never got a flag out of that. It's just, it incenses me how, you know, the league can go ahead and yank our middle linebacker 1 year and then go ahead and not throw any flags when somebody wants to target, you know, our fastest guy and deep threat on the team. I'm just incensed by it. I think it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, only 3 penalties yesterday, though. That was Banner.
Right.
That was Banner. So you got.
And there was a terrible non-call when Max Crosby was getting terribly held.
Yes. I mean,
and they didn't say anything. It was right there. I was like, "What? You're looking right at it."
Yeah, And it was out in the open field, and
it
grabbed under the shoulder pad. It was blatant, but that's the way it goes. And I'm telling you though, now they're in Vegas. All these referees, they want comps here, so they're gonna treat the Raiders better. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we'll close out with Vinny Bonsignore, whose show comes up next in the Huddle. He's fresh back from the trip to Charlotte. We'll talk to him about the game. We'll talk to him about Trent Brown. You're listening to Q and Scott here on the Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Ha ha.
Uh-oh.
Man, this song goes so hard.
There you go.
Even you cats from San Diego could appreciate this one, Scott. Hey.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
This is the jam, man. Shout out to LA this one.
They don't make them anymore, man, like this.
No, they really don't.
They don't. It's too bad.
Right.
It goes hard like Jonathan Abram goes hard.
Oh,
there you go. Here we go. Yo. Oh, man, I thought it was a song.
He's just,
I like it because the old school, they always have a 20-second ramp-up of just beats.
Just beats.
I love it. It was great in music radio because I could run like a phone call over the intro.
And the rhymes aren't like 1,000 a second. Like, they gave it time to work.
This one went so hard, man.
There you go. All right, we're back here.
Of a player named Quick. Just stuff a kind of.
There it goes. Like, I thought you don't rap.
I don't. Okay. I was DJ Quick.
Anymore.
There we go.
I can remember words.
We're back on Silver and Black today, powered by Sam and Ash. Injury attorney, 702-820-1234 is their number. And we close out our show today, and we just got a few minutes since Q was getting that beat going. For us.
My bad.
You're going. That's okay, man. That's good. It's all good. It's a Monday. It's a victory Monday. Vinny, back. So let's talk. We had a lot of folks call today and talk about Trent Brown. What do we know about the injury and the prognosis for whether or not he might be back?
Well, it's a calf injury, and there's no doubt that he's banged up.
Yeah.
We saw that in training camp. They tried to do everything that they could to get him through training camp and in a way that, you know, managed and minimized the calf injury. But for him to last only three plays in the season opener is extremely disconcerting. I asked John Gruden about that, and he had a very John Gruden measured with some specific kind of looks, facial expressions, pauses, and it leads you to believe, and I know this for a fact, that they're concerned, and it's not so much with the injury. I'm just going to throw it out there. They're concerned that Trent Brown, might not be doing everything he needs to be doing to get on the field and play through this injury and manage this injury and mitigate this injury and do what you need to do to put yourself in a position to get through a game on Sundays. And that's just the fact of the matter. And I think there's some frustration growing, in the organization about that and within the coaching staff about that. And so we'll see where it goes from here. But,
It is what it is, and
it happens sometimes.
It does. And Vinny, we've been very positive. I've been telling fans all day, look, be happy with a victory on the road.
Definitely.
First game of the year. But the only thing that we focused on a little bit was that defensive line. How are they going to get better fast? Is it a conditioning thing with them? They seem to be gassed a lot, but that's happening across the league.
Well, and it was hot, and it was the humid humidity. I'm not trying to make excuses. Those are legitimate explanations. Plus, and I know this from talking to defensive linemen, the cadence situation. Teddy Bridgewater is a really smart quarterback. He kept them off balance with his cadence. It's the first time that they saw that team, and there was a lot going on. They started getting better as the game went on, though. That's
they
the
did.
Key.
And more importantly, they made the stop when they had to.
Right.
All right, Vinny Bonsignore is coming up next in the Huddle, along with Lincoln Kennedy, who's his new co-host.
Denzel Good, the hero of the day.
Denzel Good is also going to be on the show.
Gold.
Talk to you guys tomorrow. Take care.